destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Good evening, everybody. And this is Robert Lee Camp, and welcome to the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. Hope you're having a great Monday today. It's a powerful day today. It's March 10th, 2008, and this is a King of Diamonds for Spades today. Another one of these King of Diamonds. We've talked a lot about King of Diamonds on the show. Their birthdays happen to have fallen this year on Mondays. But today, there's some people that are pretty well known that are born today. We have Prince Edward, son of Queen Elizabeth II and Prince Philip. We have Wayne Dyer, the famous teacher, writer, author. We have Chuck Norris. I've been hearing some great some great Chuck Norris stuff today. I'm not sure if I want to talk about it, say any of these, maybe one later. We also have Sharon Stone. She's born today. We have comedian Chris Titus and football player Rod Woodson. We also have the guy that assassinated Martin Luther King, James Earl Ray, was born today. So here you have an example of the King of Diamonds' blindness pointing in the wrong direction. And musician Eddie Brickell. So these are the people born today. King of Diamonds, the only one-eyed king in the deck, very powerful. They can be very successful because they can just kind of ignore things that would actually, considerations and such that might stop other people. This particular birthday of King of Diamonds is actually very home-oriented. They do get married, Sharon Stone has been married a couple times. Even though she is like a femme fatale, she's very marriageable because of the four spades. It makes anybody marriageable. It's a very home-body kind of card. Also has a high degree of intelligence because it has a Ten of Clubs as a karma card. So that's our card for the day. Now, we were supposed to have a very special guest last week, and because of some travel snafus that happened that day, some weather stuff, he wasn't able to be on the show. But we have Dr. Ray Blanchard with us here tonight to be a guest on the show, and he's going to talk about the answer to absolutely everything. And a little bit about the work that he's done. I happen to know Ray because he was a coach of mine in a transformational training program I took that I've mentioned many times here on the show, by the way. Some of you have heard me talk about this several times, how I took this training that absolutely changed my life. And in my basic level training, Ray was my coach. And I felt so privileged to have a man of his stature, not his fame or anything, but just who he is, to be my coach. And I just learned to really, really like him and to respect the work that he's doing. And this, because he's connected to this training that I did, I just have the utmost respect. And now, he is now the co-producer of this movie called The Answer to Absolutely Everything, which is kind of like the answer to The Secret, almost, you might say. He's a leading trainer, designer, corporate consultant, founder of Blanchard Consulting Group. I happen to know that he personally coaches people, helping them achieve their life goals. He's actually trained over 100,000 people all over the world, Japan, New Zealand, Russia, Malaysia, Puerto Rico, Argentina, Canada, and the U.S. He's constantly traveling and training people. He was a Danforth Fellow, an Outstanding Young Man of America, and was senior board advisor to Vistar Youth Horizons Incorporated, which is a charitable organization dedicated to the enhancement of youth at risk. He's a member of the American Counseling Association. He's an amazing guy. Is Ray there? I want to talk to Ray.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, hi, Ray.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. You're a little bit on the low side, but I can hear you.
Well, Seth, the guy in the control room has the ability to adjust the volume, so maybe he'll fix that up for us.
Okay, great. He can bring up the sound just a little bit for me.
Yeah. Well,
how are you?
I am great, and it's a pleasure to have you on this, on my show tonight. I haven't really had that many guests. I think you're only my second guest in almost a year. Usually I give a little talk to myself. But having
I'm honored.
Thank you. I mean, having the opportunity to have you on the show, I couldn't think of a better person that represents everything that I think is good also in the world to come on and share your point of view and some of the work you're doing with our listening audience. So
great.
I would like to ask you a question to start this out.
Okay.
What is the answer to absolutely everything?
Well, of course, you know I got to save that for the end.
Oh, okay. that's cool with me.
but of course, I'll jump right into it. The answer, actually, it's a great statement, and it's a very bold comment, and we are prepared to stand in the middle of that statement, the answer to absolutely everything, but ultimately, we're interested in stirring up people and stirring up the question to have people be in pursuit themselves so that they can actually come up with the answers for themselves. What we don't want to do is dictate to people. We don't think that that works. And as you know from the work that I've been doing, we actually operate more by a Socratic method of bringing people out so that they discover for themselves the answers for themselves. And, of course, I have my answer to what is the answer to everything. But ultimately, the answer is you. The answer is the individual person. Mm. And you really are the source of your own experience in life. And it's through your own interpretations and through your own belief systems that you arrive at that. And the ultimate challenge for people is to be able to dissect their own belief systems and their own interpretations so that they can be more aware and have conscious choice, because there are a lot of people who don't realize that they have conscious choice or that they are automatically interpreting things from old paradigms. So what we really want people to do is to be able to stop, look, and choose for themselves of the belief systems and interpretations that they're going to operate by, and thereby create their own experience in life, and in which case they are the answer themselves.
I see. So you would have people sort of examine themselves a little deeper to find out how their own interpretations of their life are helping to create the life the way it is? Is that what you
mean? Yes, absolutely. You know, there are people who live a very unchallenged life. They digest what people tell them, and they try to take that on, and their world of reality is dictated by the constructs that were given to them, and they are not thoroughly challenged. So people live by various prejudices, beliefs, interpretations that are, to a great degree, unfounded.
Can you give
Can you give an example of that?
Would you mind giving an example that our listeners could kind of relate to that of that principle that you're discussing right now about the beliefs that we're operating under?
Well, very simple things, to give you some simple ones, things like I am unworthy, or money is bad, or money is the root of all evil, or men are not gentle, or women are not strong, or various beliefs that extend beyond that all the way to their interpretations of what is reality and what is spirit, and all the thoughts and beliefs in between. So from the very basic things to the very arcane things, people have various interpretations. We're in a political race these days with the Republicans and Democrats, and you know, there are people who actually have certain beliefs about what Republicans are.
Right.
And Republicans are this and that, or what Democrats are. And, you know, there are people who stick to the party line, but they don't necessarily see people as individuals or look at that from a much more challenged and a very more examined point of view. You know, there are all too often people voting the party line, or they're doing other things according to certain archaic beliefs or age-old beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would
say that limits people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of it may be due to the fact that Americans as a whole, we seem to want the easy way out of everything. You know, just tell us who to vote for. Who's a Republican, who's a Democrat? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there are things that we in society these days are somewhat spoiled and want things easy, and what we call it, the 7-Eleven consciousness or the drive-through consciousness. We want it now, and we want it our way. And, you know, there are beliefs in Europe and other parts of the world about the ugly American, how much we demand what we want when we want it, and their view of us is that Americans are not considerate, and Americans are not very compassionate. But that is not necessarily true at all. That might be true about some Americans, but you can't make a blanket statement about that. And I think that's what is also what we're challenging. We're looking at all kinds of beliefs and all kinds of interpretations that people are operating by on automatic. And that includes the interpretation of who are we as human beings, and what is the deeper capabilities that we have available to us. And I know a lot of your work has to do with readings and being there for people on a level that many people are not accustomed to. Many people would call your work too metaphysical or too far out, or maybe bordering on the cult or the occult, and would stay away from it only because of their interpretations of what they brought to that or what they've heard other people say about that. And yet, your work reaches very deeply into dimensions that are available to us. And if we could access those capabilities, what kind of human being would we possibly be?
Mm. Yeah, I see what you're saying. So if you were, like, talking to 50 people in a room, which you've done many times, but you weren't, like, in a particular structured setting of, like, a certain kind of a training you were doing, and you wanted to impart to them, like, the most important message you could, right? What would you want to tell that group of people?
The message that I would mostly want people to do is to be open. Be open to possibilities. There are endless possibilities and an endless potential that is available to us. There's so much more unknown to us than what is known to us in what we think we know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we actually know only a small percentage of what's truly available to us. But if we get righteous and stuck on what we think we know, we've closed down the possibility of an infinite potentiality. And my answer to people is be open to the possibility, because what's ultimately available to us in the universe perhaps is so great that any concept that you or I would savor is not even capable of comprehending it.
Hmm. So you would like people just to kind of question what they're taking to be true, just to be in a questioning state of mind about it?
Be in the question, yes, absolutely. To step outside of their box, to step outside of their paradigms, and don't make their paradigms wrong. Understand me, and I don't want people to hear that. I don't want people to make their paradigms wrong. I want people to see that they are so much more capable and they're so much more available. And if we use our greatest intelligence and capabilities to pursue that, we might unlock the doors to an incredible abundance and an incredible capacity to experience richness in our relationships, richness in our lifestyle, and richness in experiencing who we are as beings.
So it sounds like that, you know, I was going to ask you, but you kind of just answered it before I got a chance to. I was just going to say, well, what is possible for people who are, you know, questioning their beliefs and being more open to possibilities that, you know, that may lie outside of what they think they know about everything? Like, what's possible then for a person that would ordinarily not be possible?
What I think is possible for people is this incredible aliveness, incredible energy and vitality. That's one thing I think is just at the heart of it, is when we lock ourselves into our very paradigms and become routine and more resigned to that, we lose a large amount of energy and vitality. And you know, energy and vitality is life itself.
Yeah.
The breath and vitality is really living. So what is available to people is to open that up and have access to a reservoir of energy and vitality and aliveness and an ability to accomplish at faster speed and with greater amount of velocity.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where life is. That's really exciting to me. And when I talk with people in their marriages and their relationships, to get beyond the relationship being routine of course you know I love you. Of course you know we're married. Of course we have a good relationship. To go beyond the of course and the resignation that's flat in the relationship and get back in love again, get back into access of the intimacy and get back in access for the vitality and the richness, and to be able to experience it as fresh and new right now all over again, rather than, of course, this is old hat, but to be able to experience presently the aliveness and vitality of a rich relationship, I think that's a treasure even right there.
Yeah, that would be amazing, actually. You know, I want to comment for a minute, because what you're saying that reminded me of the experience I had doing the legacy training when I had finished the basic, and I was kind of blown away, but I was still in my sort of judgmental head about everything. And I looked around the room at the end where they brought all the staff out there, and I saw all these people, and I just couldn't believe how happy they looked. And I was doubtful. You know, I was saying, these people, they got to be faking it, you know. Either they're faking it, or I want to drink what they're drinking. And I'm telling you the truth, Ray. It was seeing those people up there and wanting to experience what I saw them experiencing that caused me to come back and do the advanced training.
Well, fabulous, fabulous. I'm so glad you did that. And I remember, you know, I can also remember back to when I was having the same thoughts as you when I first did a seminar somewhat like that. And I was a psychotherapist at the time and teaching at a university and thought I was pretty much on the cutting edge of the work. And the very first time I witnessed people with that glow in their eyes and a glow in their skin and a richness, a aliveness around them, I thought they must be drinking something too.
Yeah.
And I was very frightened of it, quite frankly. I didn't want to lose control and lose myself to them. And that's where I was operating at the time. But I had no idea that that was available to me, and it was so simple. It was just releasing a lot of old baggage and releasing a lot of the old beliefs that held me down. And letting myself go, letting myself be more freed up. Oh, so rewarding. You know, and I think about that so much these days, Robert, because I've had the privilege of many of these years of working with people in problematic situations, whether it be relationships, physical disabilities, and physical conditions. And I've seen people's conditions improve dramatically beyond what medical science was willing to admit was possible. And I've seen unbelievable things happen for people. Not magic, but very, very magical when you actually do some very simple things. The outcomes are magical. But it's not by magic. It's very practical kinds of stuff. In the movie that we just did, and I love people to see it, and you can get it at www.gettheanswer.org. One of the things that really touched me so deeply in the movie is there's a young man, I met him when he was 17 years old in Argentina, and he was the nephew of a very good friend of mine. By the time he was 21, he had come to the United States to study architecture. Uh-huh. And when he was 22 years old, he was diagnosed with brain cancer.
Mm.
And they gave him only 10 months to live. And he went through several surgeries, and the prognosis was very dim for him. But there was something about the work that he had done with all of us, the same kind of work, that told him to believe much more deeply and to not give up and to know that there was still a purpose to his life. Mm. And he reached deep inside and he allowed people to assist him and to be with them. And he didn't give up. And he found eventually a doctor who truly believed in him and believed that there was a possibility for his life. Well, he took up with that doctor, and through all the work that he did with himself and the meditation and all of the healing work he did with himself, he is now cancer-free, and that was 5 years ago.
Wow.
And he was only given 10 months to live. And I think the power of accessing your own potential and your energy reservoir and not let your negative beliefs get you down is something to behold.
That's an awesome story. You know, my own...
Yeah, that story is in the film. And we captured that story because the movie, what we wanted to do is we wanted to take a lot of the philosophies that we have been teaching over the years and we wanted to have real-life stories, documentary stories where people are actually living these principles and have gone from zero to hero in their own lives and made a difference in other people's lives as well, so that the everyday person could see that and say, well, if that's what you did and if that's what's available, then I can do that too. That's not so far out. I can do that. And that's what we wanted to create for the world.
Oh, that's wonderful. So I'm curious, because I haven't seen your movie yet. I went on the line to actually look at it, but it was for some reason not working that day.
We put it down for some computer adjustments.
Yeah, I guess you guys moved to server or something. But anyway, does the movie offer it sounds like it's really inspirational, but what does it sort of direct the person watching the movie to do? Like, what does the person coming out of, what kind of action do they take after seeing the movie? What would they be inspired to do?
Well, you know, when we started this movie, we had just watched the movie called The Secret, which is a fabulous movie, too.
Yeah.
And it talks about metaphysical principles, and that's all part of my philosophical study, is metaphysics. But I'm also a realist and a practical, very practical person. What I saw in that movie is, even though it was fabulous on some respects, it left people thinking that life was pie in the sky, and that all you have to do is think it, and it would come true. And I know that that's somewhat true, but there's more to it than that. You have to take action, and you also need to be self-responsible. And you also need to clear away a lot of the self-limiting beliefs and get them out of your pathway so that you have access to the flow of life and to the riches of life. So what we're doing in the movie is you'll not only see these documentary stories of what people have done that will touch, move, and inspire you to do the same thing, but you also have about 20 different trainers who have worked with literally hundreds of thousands of people like I have, maybe over a million people together. They're also sharing some of their insights and philosophies. And we're actually laying out several of the key principles and key practices that a person needs to do in order to manifest what you want and to be able to live the life you love and dream about rather than just fantasize about it. So we're actually giving people some practices and some principles to operate by.
That sounds fantastic. So this is the answer to absolutely everything, and it's on gettheanswer.org website. Is that correct?
Yes. And if I could just give a little formula, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, there are four things. There are living life with purpose. So I call them my four P's: purpose, principles, practices, and persistence. Mm-hmm. So if you were to get in touch with your life purpose and then learn some of the fundamental principles of the universe, let's say seven fundamental principles of the universe, and learn how they work, because they work the same way everywhere all the time, for planets as well as for human beings, just learn what they are.
Uh-huh.
And then practice certain daily activities and ways of living, ways of being a human being. And we lay out 10 of those in my work. We don't lay them all out in the movie, but we lay them out in our work.
Okay.
And then if you persist with those things and don't ever give up, life can work. So principle, purpose, practice, and be persistent.
Mm-hmm.
Life can work. And in the deeper work that you have done with people at Legacy and others that I've worked with, we integrate all of those things into experiences and activities in the training sessions where they become real for you rather than theoretical.
Yeah.
So that people are actually able to live them.
You know, I just for the benefit of our audience, who they know me really well, they've been reading my books and so forth. This training that Ray is referring to, this process, I found to be the most powerful thing I ever did in my life, and it absolutely caused miracles to show up in my life. It was nothing short of miraculous. I was having miracles happen every single day after the advanced training. It was just every single day.
The work that you're doing now is fabulous. That's another one of your miraculous breakthroughs.
I've been doing this for almost 20 years now. I was doing it before Legacy, but when I went into the training, I was pretty much kind of like a lost soul, didn't know what to do, where to go next. But I came out of there like on fire. And I did achieve finally showing up like those people that I saw that I thought were faking it.
You sound a lot like me. You know, when I was years ago, I spent some time at Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California, and I spent a lot of time studying consciousness and philosophy and metaphysics. And I think I got so steeped in it at one level, but somehow I allowed myself to discontent with the world around me to a great degree, and I became much more internal. And I didn't know how to connect the dots and make my life work in the quote-unquote real world. And I think the training pulled all that together for me. And wow, boy, did life take off for me after that.
So does the movie at all kind of direct people to taking one of these kind of trainings that I took and that you do all over the world? I mean, does it have that kind of a suggestion at the end or direction to it?
You know, we really didn't put that on the bottom of the movie because we had so many people involved with the movie from the different disciplines, and we did not want to bias it one way or the other. But what we did do is we managed to focus in on the central principles that they all seem to endorse. And on the website, you will be able to click on the coaches, and you can go and visit each of the coaches at their website and see the various things that they're involved in. Some of the people, like the Legacy Center in Raleigh, North Carolina, which is a fabulous center to do a lot of work, and I work over there a lot, they came into the movie later. They were not in the initial stages of the movie. They came in later because we're doing another project, too, which is called The Best Year of Your Life. We took some of the extra footage from the movie, and we did a few more shoots, and people began to ask us, people who had seen the movie began to ask us if we would maybe do a short film every month on different topics and do 12 of those and call them the best year of your life so that people subscribe to the monthly series. And we also give them exercises to do and have them journalize their experience. So we've got a monthly topic that comes out every month. Something like one month was enriching your dreams. Another one was loving relationships. Another one was health and well-being. And the recent one was wealth and prosperity. And we will have others along the lines of parenting and other topics that are relative to the main movie. So people can have one short movie a month to enrich their lives, and we're calling that the Best Year of Your Life series. So the original project has morphed into all kinds of other things now, and we're going to be taking a trip to Africa in a couple of months, and no, in about 4 weeks.
Oh,
to Nigeria and to Ghana and a few other places, and we're taking our film crew with us, and we're filming what we're calling the Spirit of Africa, the Motherland. And that's going to be another very interesting project that we're looking to do.
So it sounds like you're getting into filmmaking quite pretty heavily these days.
I never thought I'd be doing this.
That's great. Well, you know, it's just it's the same thing you're already doing, but just taken to a different dimension.
Taking it to a different level, taking it to a different dimension. Well, see, the thing is, Robert, is that I spent 30 years in the industry of transformational psychology and philosophy, and teaching people deep experiences in that. And I met a gentleman in Los Angeles a few years ago who had a movie production company. And at the time, I was living in Portland, Oregon. He happened to be in the Pacific Northwest filming and was introduced to me. And we found that our thoughts were so parallel because he had done a lot of work in metaphysics and other things as a hobby. But he was very good at filmmaking. He was one of the original producers for CNN, and he's done Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and he's done A&E TV. He's done, well, most of all the major companies in Hollywood he's done some work for. So he and I became very close friends, and we thought, and he took some of the seminars, too, and we thought, well, this work needs to be exposed to more people around the world, and why don't I use my media background and filmmaking background, and he has a filmmaking company, and he and I went together to marry transformational education and media, and that began the whole process, and the rest is history.
Very nice. That is awesome. That is awesome. And, you know, I think this is happening to a lot of people, too, but I'm so happy because I, too, feel like, you know, when I was in the training, when I was in the leadership program and I was enrolling people in the training, no one had ever heard of it. And, you know, it was just like I thought, well, people need to know about this. It's the world's best-kept secret, you know.
Go ahead. Yeah, it needed to be exposed, and a lot of people have been asking us for years, why don't you advertise? Why don't you do that? And we had always said, well, we think it's much more valuable that people have person-to-person communication, because those are one of the values that the training work teaches you, is to connect with other people and share authentically and share from the heart. And we thought that we would be robbing people of that experience if we did too much advertising, because we thought that person-to-person contact was the focal point of our work.
Sure.
But we woke up. We don't have to give that up, but what we saw is with the Internet and with media these days, why not let people see some of the work? It doesn't take the place of doing a real life seminar, of course, but it certainly does explain to people what the work is about, and it also gives people some insights and tips that they can have some take-home value just from watching a video.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. And just it just gives them a sort of a sense of it by the way you guys talk and by the way that the people are being, you know. It just gives them a sense of it by just watching, I would imagine.
Yeah, it does. You know, you can get a very good sense of it. And, of course, you know, I've got some new projects that I'm working on, too, now that I've gotten so deep into this. I'm now thinking about doing another seminar, and we're going to be filming some of that and making a video out of that. In October in Los Angeles. I think it's going to be in Los Angeles, and we'll probably do it in several cities. We're going to be doing a mega event, which will be about 500 to 1,000 people, to experience a whole host of trainers in action together. So it's going to be a fabulous event.
Is that going to be on the website? Is that going to be announced on the website so people know, you know, here can...
It's going to be announced on the website. It will be announced and will be released. So there are two places that people can keep up with us. And one is our website, www.gettheanswer.org. And we have a blog on that site, too, so that things will be announced there. But we're also, you know, another innovative idea that we got is from people who have done a lot of this work all around the world, people began to talk to us and say, wouldn't it be great if we could connect with each other and share thoughts and share insights? And we took that idea and started another online community called the Expanding Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place where people can exchange ideas and meet other people who are into interesting things. And we're now beginning to have that grow. And it just started recently, and it's starting to grow. It's called www.expandingcircle.net. www.expandingcircle.net. And it's fabulous. So people can go on there and look at and listen. And every 3 weeks now, 3 weeks to 4 weeks, I'm hosting a telephone call, a conference call internationally, where I work with two or three people on the telephone, and anyone can join in and listen in as long as they mute themselves and listen in to that. And that's also announced on expandingcircle.net.
Oh, so basically people get to hear you coaching somebody? Is that how that works?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have the Expanding Circle. I'm sorry, what did you say?
They can peek in on it.
That's a cool idea, Ray. That's really cool.
Yeah, and if, you know, if they really want to get some work done themselves, they can just call our, you know, write into our website at info@gettheanswer.org and submit their name and write a few lines on what their issue is that they want to talk about. And we pick a few of them out of a hat, and those are the ones we work with on the call. Other people are listening in.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, I think you've given us a great introduction. I feel privileged to have you on the show. I recommend anything you're doing to the people, to my listeners, to my readers, because I had such a great experience. It was, I want to say, it was the hardest thing I ever did in my whole life. It was, you know, up until that point. It was difficult because it was so confrontive. For, not that they were confrontive, but just the process caused everything to come up for me. But it caused a clearing in me that absolutely altered the course of my life, and I'm forever, ever grateful for that, Ray. So thanks for coming on my show, and thanks for giving all the links so people can plug in and find out what's going on. I think there's a sample to the movie and an introduction on the website, isn't there? So
go on the website and look at the trailer. It's called, again, www.gettheanswer.org, and you can see the trailer. And we're going to be coming out with a few more things pretty soon, so keep tuned, in which we'll have some free downloads for people and a number of things that we're producing for our listening audience. So just keep up with us on our website and be part of our community and all your listeners. We'd love to have you and love to interact with you and support you and what you're up to. Robert, you're going to give me a reading sometime, too, aren't you, one of these days?
Well, you know, I was going to tell you something right now. I have actually, I want to tell my listening audience that your birthday, because they all want to know what your card is, right? Okay.
Okay.
And in this system, everybody's a card. So you are April 5th, 1948, is that true?
Yes.
Okay. So you, in the system that I work with, you are the Three of Spades. And your second card is the Five of Diamonds. And The Three of Spades is called the artist card. It's a person that has extreme amount of creativity, one of the most creative cards in the whole deck. And they're so creative that they generally have to have two lives going at the same time.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, they'll have like two separate lives going at the same time. And they're also, they can be very successful artists or any creative work. And the Five of Diamonds, that's your second card, makes you very restless, and you just got to travel all the time. And
I wonder why can't I settle down?
And the Five also, those two cards too also are not, is they're not, it's not in their nature to want to be, to have their freedom taken away in any, by anything. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes like relationships, like marriage and stuff, eludes them. Not always, but often. Because of that freedom urge they have so strong. And in this system, there are cards for every year, and your birthday is coming up really soon here, and you're getting ready to have a new year. And I'll tell you what I see for you, it's what the cards say here, is that you're going to have, you're going to be working your tail off, number one, and you're going to be making a lot of money as well. You got a lot of financial good fortune coming your way this year. It's going to be great. Actually, it's going to be a really good year all around. The only thing is you might think, wow, I'm just working so hard.
Yeah, I've already begun to feel that.
Yeah, well, it's gonna, you'll be feeling this by June. You'll be really feeling it.
Oh, wow.
So,
I got a lot on my plate.
We all wish you well, and thanks again for coming on and being a guest here. I'm sure everybody really enjoyed hearing about the movie, and they're going to go to the website and check it out. And I'm going to go back and see if I can watch it again this time. It didn't work last time.
Yeah, and you know, Robert, that'd be great. And you know what I want to invite you to do? You know, join our expandingcircle.net and occasionally write a blog or write a short article and leave your name and your website on there or your a way to contact you so that our listening audience and our people can connect with you and contact you too.
Okay. I'm actually already a member, but I never thought about blogging there, so maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, blog there.
Okay. Thank you.
do a little something. We would love it.
Okay.
Our other people would love it if you were to just write something from you and from some of your readings or whatever you like to put on there on gettheanswer.org or on expandingcircle.net. You can do it on both. And people would love to tune in to you, and make sure you leave your phone number or your contact information there.
All right, Ray. Thanks for that suggestion. I really appreciate that. And I hope I see
you
someday.
We want to support you, too. We want to support you, too.
Are you leading any trainings in California anytime soon?
Not in the near future. Maybe in about 6 months, 5 months, I think I'm going to be doing something in Los Angeles. But this year, in August, I'm doing something in Los Angeles around the 19th or 20th of that week.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Of August. But this year I booked myself a lot on the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
And
so you'll probably
and then I saved some space to do some stuff internationally.
Okay. Cool.
So I did a couple of already in Los Angeles this year in the early part of the year. And
well, I was just checking in to see if you'd be in my area at all. I could come see you or something. I'm up in the San Francisco Bay Area now, so.
Are you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where?
The East Bay.
I know this is a radio show, but where?
A town called Concord.
Oh, of course I know Concord. I used to live in San Rafael.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I'm from the Bay Area. I lived in San Rafael and lived all over the Bay Area, in Berkeley and San Leandro. And
Yeah.
All over the place. Mm-hmm.
Well, Ray, thanks again for coming and being a guest tonight. And maybe I'll have you on again after some of our listeners have had a chance to check you out.
That would be absolutely a pleasure. I've actually enjoyed this more than I've enjoyed any show I've been on because it's so great talking with you.
Oh, thanks, Ray. It was a pleasure for me too. I feel very,
very
honored
easy.
To have you.
Me too.
All right,
man. Thank you so much.
All right, Ray. Thanks again. Have a great evening.
Thanks, Robert.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night. That was Dr. Ray Blanchard. This guy is an amazing guy. You know, I watched him carefully. I've seen him work, you know, for a week, and then I've seen him off and on. He's always calm, cool, collected, and smiling, and has this energy that just exudes from him. He's just an amazing, amazing guy. And now we know his card, and he's the happiest Three of Spades, Five of Diamonds person I've ever met. Maybe you guys feel the same way. Okay, well, listen, thanks, everybody, for hanging in here. We're going to take a short break now. When we come back, we're going to start our readings. We have a couple people waiting who are patiently on the phone. We're going to play my new song, which is called Rama Rama. And when we come back, we will talk to Len and Gail, who are waiting patiently. So be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. Hope you enjoyed that song. You know, I just thought, as I was listening to the song myself, I was thinking, you know, maybe some of you may not know, like, what this chanting thing's all about, but the songs I'm doing are Sanskrit chants, and the whole purpose, the whole reason for doing chanting is that the sounds, when you sing them yourself, they create vibrational effects in your consciousness. You can feel it in your body, but you can also feel it. It also affects your consciousness. And the sound Ram, and that song was Rama Rama, specifically affects the heart chakra. It opens up the heart. So maybe you felt that a little bit as you listen, but it's much more powerful when you sing along. Okay, the lines are open now for readings, and we do have Lynn waiting patiently on line 4. Are you there, Lynn?
Yes. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Lynn. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
You got a nice little southern accent going there.
It's mine.
Love those southern accents.
Thank you.
And you are born December 22nd, 1956?
58. 1958.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified that. So, what may we do for you this evening?
Well, I wanted to ask you about my little boy.
Okay.
His birthday is 2/3/2000.
Okay.
And he's had some health problems. And I wanted to know what you see about his getting well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's take a look here. You know, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You know, when a child has health problems at such a young age, this is something that's due to past life karma.
Uh-huh.
You know, because this is not something that the child could have created, you know, karmically in
uh-huh.
this lifetime.
Okay.
And him being born on February 3rd, that's a really heavy-duty birthday for physical karma.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just, and it doesn't, it's not that everybody born that day, for by any means, has problems so young. Okay. But they do ultimately have some sort of physical manifestation that they have to work with.
Okay.
Everybody that I've met. And I know several people that are born on that birthday.
Okay.
You know, I've known people that are born on that birthday, and it's been really consistent that they all have something physical that they end up working on as part of their lifetime karma. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, my mother, let's see, now, I don't even know what the relation is to me, but it's my niece had two children, one of my nieces, three children. The third child, before he was even a year old, developed cancer all throughout his body.
Oh, my.
And he's not even, he's not an Iron Space. He's actually he's a Leo. I'm trying to remember what his birthday is. I don't think it's even relevant what his card is. But to see a little guy like that who's not even old enough to know what's going on, to be having life-threatening illnesses, I mean, operations, you know,
right.
He has to have operations. And
uh-huh.
he's already on chemo and all this, you know. That's just tragic when you think about it. You know?
Right.
But we know that, I know that he didn't create this, not in this lifetime. He hasn't lived long enough to do anything to create this kind of karma, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. He started off difficult, and he's been through a lot already.
Uh-huh.
He's been through divorce, and his father is sometimes challenging. And
so in other words, he's been brought up in a challenging environment.
Yes.
And he's 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
and now it's manifesting as a physical problem.
Yeah, but it started. I mean, his birth was difficult for him, and it's just been challenging from then forward. So.
Did he have a, he had a difficult birth also?
Yeah, he was a preemie, and his birth mother took drugs. He started off really, really difficult.
Uh-huh. Well, when I look at his cards, you know, for the year, and, uh-huh. you know, it's hard to say what's really going on because, you know, when you're that young, when we're that young, we tend to think that everything that's happening around us is our fault.
Oh, I know.
That's just the nature of being a child. All children make that assumption, you know. If things are really bad, you know, around them, they
right.
must have done something.
Right.
That's the assumption that, that children make. Because they don't know any better, you know, they're just not old enough to know. And it's part of that first year, that those first years of life, it's part of that whole, it's part of the development of the psyche of the child. So if he took it in himself that, that somehow all that was his fault, which nobody could stop him if he did it, you know what I mean? Nobody could, it's internal.
Right.
That could be why he's sick, because, you know, he's old enough now that he could have created this illness, this particular illness.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't, I still don't think so. I still think he's too young, personally.
Yeah.
I think it's just karmic. So yeah. I don't see that he has really negative health cards this year.
Okay.
But there's so much to the card system. Like, the cards we're looking at are what he's experiencing.
Right.
The world from his point of view.
Right.
So this illness may not really mean much to him in a certain way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not saying it doesn't, but I'm just saying it's possible.
His father is a Queen of Diamonds.
Uh-huh.
And I see him in what I don't know that much, but in what I've tried to understand about the cards, it seems like that Queen of Diamonds just will not go away and let him have peace. Or me, either one.
Uh-huh.
Like, we can't seem
to take. Well, I don't understand. Like, you want the Queen of, you want the Queen of Diamonds to go away? Is that what you're saying?
Or at least give us peace. Just be peaceful. It's not been peaceful. It's not been peaceful at all.
Is he gone now? I mean, is he away from the child? Is he?
No, he's around. We see him several times a week.
Oh, I see.
It's very annoying.
Oh. Well, you know, for the benefit of the child, you may have to limit the Queen of Diamonds, you know, visitation or something. I mean,
yeah. You
have to do what's best for the child, and I'm sure that the courts would be sympathetic with you.
Yeah,
if you thought that, you know, the visits were actually causing more problems than helping.
It's very hard to tell. It really is hard to tell, But the Queen of Diamonds, he's very harassing toward me, and so I think that affects, you know, our child.
You don't need that, do you?
No, I don't.
Now, see, you're a 9 also, okay?
Yeah.
Now, is this your grandchild we're talking about, your son?
No, I adopted him, but no, he's not my grandchild.
Okay, so he's your son, but he's adopted.
Yes, he's adopted.
So, you know, you have a lot to learn about letting go yourself. You have your own thing you're bringing here.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is not an easy birthday, you know. It's a double 9.
I know.
It's a double 9.
And I'm a twin.
You're a twin, too.
Uh-huh.
Well, a twin doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing or, you know, a hard thing. But
yeah.
Being a double 9 is definitely a big pile of karma to work on.
Yes,
so,
I agree.
You know, and I have a really. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Do we ever get rid of the Queen of Diamonds guy?
Well, you know, he's a karma card of yours.
I know.
So, and you owe him.
I know.
So, what are you gonna do about that?
Pay.
Just keep on paying, huh?
That's so how it feels.
All the paying's done. Well, I don't know, you know, maybe so. But I think if you take this whole situation and just look at it from the perspective of what's best for the child and do that, it should help resolve everything, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Len. It's great talking to you. I hope everything improves for the child.
Thank you. Me too. Thanks
All
so
right.
much.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, we have three lines open, and we want to talk to Gail from Virginia Beach. Are you there, Gail?
Hey, Robert, I'm here.
And who are you, Gail? Do I know
you? I'm a real estate broker from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
This and you got a Southern accent,
second
too.
Second career for me. My first career was in broadcasting and radio and television and owner of an advertising firm for many years.
Oh, cool.
And I have a son, Peter, who is a most unusual fellow, and he is just the brightest young man I've ever known, and he just happens to be my son.
Yeah, right.
And he's not one to follow the normal path of things. His birthday is February the 11th, 1985,
mm-hmm.
and I'm his mother. I'm the Leo woman. The August the 21st, 1955.
Okay.
And he is going through what some people would think would be a horrible thing, but yet he has a lot of insight into why it was necessary, because he needs to sit still and be quiet and to think about and become more introspective into his life. And that he has done. And in doing so, he has found that he has the blessings, the talents of his great-grandmother, Eloise Violet Mosley Morris from Louisiana, who was a Sunday school teacher for 60 years in the same Baptist church, but she told fortunes with playing cards.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
And she was extremely accurate. And I cannot even tell you that I know this, that I would not be in the financial position that I am today if it had not been for my wonderful, loving, sweet grandmother. And my son Peter has her talents.
Okay.
He didn't even know it until he had to sit still. And now he knows.
So
he's been reading a lot of the old Olney Richmond, and he's been delving into some of the Robert Camp. And so his mother received an email that said that we would be here on the line tonight, so I thought I would give you a call and say, you know, we want to know more. We have talked to Nathan, you and I have, you know, shared some emails, and we're trying to get him books and information that he really needs. And
oh, is he the one who's
been... I am shocked.
Are you the one
who's... I'm
shocked
at the wonderful things he's come forth with already.
Are you the one whose son is in prison right now?
In the city jail, not even prison. Prison's a lot nicer.
Oh, okay. He's in the city
jail. And if you did not know that, your local city jail is
a
really awful places. You just want to go for a few hours in case you were picked up on a DUI. But, you know, should you have to spend, you know, 17 months there, you might not think it's so nice.
I never thought any jail was nice myself.
No, it's really not. And, you know, Peter's fault is for trusting the wrong people. He's rather naive and easily swayed by people who would say, hey, you know, we don't have any place to eat or sleep or whatever. And Peter would share the family resources and say, oh, well, come stay at one of our houses. And you never know what those people are up to. And he's just so easily gotten to. He really is. But, you know, he's getting less innocent, and he's learning a lot about himself. And, you know, he's told me not even to regret the fact that he's in jail. Because he's had a chance to really become much more introspective, and he has found in that he has a lot of talents. You know, and I'm a Christian person, and I look back at the stories about Paul and Silas in the jail, you know, many good Christians found themselves in jail. And so I think, well, you know, maybe not everyone in jail is a bad person, and I certainly know that my son is not. So I have listened to much of what he's had to say, and we've ordered many books for him that he has requested, and they seem to be all along the line of astrology, astronomy, teratology, you know, numerology. He's just all out there. And it's
so how much longer does he have to stay there? How much longer does he have to be in jail?
We don't know.
Oh, really?
We don't know right now.
It's
we will. He has a hearing coming up the end, yes, and I'm Southern too, in the end of April. And we're very excited about that. We hope that he just walks away from that, but we don't think that he really will. He really has been at the wrong place at the wrong time, and maybe, Robert, you could tell me more about
that. I think he's gonna walk out of there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It could be, you know, it has been strictly on the word of another person that he needs to stay there, a young lady that, well, young woman.
Well, I'm just telling you what the cards say. The cards are indicating that he's going to get out of there.
Well, I would just love that, you know.
I'm sure you would.
Simon's mom, I haven't had a hug in so long.
You can't even go and hug him?
Huh?
You can't even go hug him?
I'm the person picking him up, honey.
I mean, they won't let you hug him in jail?
Oh, no. This is all on video. They don't let people in Virginia Beach, you know, be together and hug each other. No. You won't get that until you're sent to a penitentiary. And that's Virginia. So, you know,
well,
your brother could really use a hug, Robert.
What about your husband?
Oh, you know, now, his father was the other radio announcer at our radio station a long time ago. And we were married, and he was born 7 years later. Okay, it wasn't like it was the add-do kind of thing. But it was just that he was quite a unique individual, and he went sailing out of town because I wanted to put down roots, and he really didn't. He was a Capricorn, born January 13th, 1943.
So your son and your son and his father are the same card.
Yes, I know.
They're both Ace of Spades.
And you know, every guy I married, I've married three times, and this last one has been 20 years, so I don't put it lightly, and I think this is the one for the rest of my life, but every one of my husbands was an Ace of Spades.
That's amazing.
And so Peter got onto that, and he said, "Geez, Mom, I got to figure out, why is it you keep going after these Ace of Spades guys?"
Well, it's because
and
they're
I said,
your
well,
Venus card.
Well, someone I would respect, Peter, or I'd probably kill him.
Well, it's they are your Venus card in your life spread. You know, everybody has a Venus card, and that is who or what we love.
Yeah.
And so you love the Ace of Spades. Now, a lot of, because the Ace of Spades means secrets, a lot of people who are Five of Clubs love to have secret affairs or secret relationships. A lot of them. They just love it. You know what I mean? And, you know, your card is one of the most unmarriageable cards in the whole deck, too.
Yes, I understand
especially
that.
Especially if you're a guy.
And it's like all off to herself, and I can do that. And it's like, you know, something... Robert, if something happens to my current husband, Tom, whenever, if I outlive him for any reason, I really won't look for another relationship. My children and my grandchildren will just be plenty.
Good.
You know, it really will. it's true. I am very much a person to be a loner, and some people have thought that. See, I work on the ocean front in my Florida room as a real estate broker, and I send Tom out, the Aries man, when it's time to do something. He's born April the 7th, 1948, and he's just so out there with so much energy, and I'm like, he's up, shower, and shake at, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, honey, got to go out and do this, go do that, do this, do that. And
another ace
done.
Of spades.
Yes, absolutely. And
so how many men do you actually have right now?
Was a Taurus of May the 17th, 1954, I think.
You mean May 5th? Maybe you're talking.
No, I'm sorry. May the 17th.
Oh, that's not an ace of spades, May 17th.
Really? Okay, was he not? Well, no wonder we didn't work. That was the shortest marriage I ever had.
So, Gail, I need to ask you, did you have a question you wanted to ask this evening?
Yes.
What would that be?
In reference to my son, Peter, who mm-hmm. is born 2/11/85.
Yeah, I have him.
I was going to ask you about him and say, what do you think? You know, is he going to ever reconcile with all these problems and get to be a free man again?
Well, he may get out of... I think he's going to get out. I mean, whether he has more problems or not, that's another story. You know, it depends on...
Yeah, what do you know about those February 11th guys?
Well, I mean, they're smart. Usually they're very intelligent, but they may not have common sense.
He's not smart, but intelligent, yes.
Yeah, I mean, they may not have the common sense that you need to make wise choices.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, everybody learns eventually. It's not like anyone's denied the education. Yeah, life brings us. So he'll learn. Eventually he'll learn. I think you need to let him go a little bit. You need to let him make mistakes and pay for his mistakes.
Yeah, I've shoved him out there so many times, and he just comes back to me like a rubber ball.
Well, no, that's only because you let him.
Yeah, okay.
Lion,
go out there. I'm your mother lion saying, go.
That's like, yeah.
Own domain.
When those lions get to the right age, they leave or they're killed by the male.
And,
that's,
you know, I understand that if you look at astrology certain ways, then the guy in February is actually a Leo, right?
No, I don't subscribe to that way.
You know?
That may be somebody's theory, but I don't think that's true. But I guess it may be true,
you know,
in some form.
I look at him. And I see a little lion.
Well, maybe he's got Leo in his chart.
He must.
You know.
He must. I look at him and I see a little lion. But he's not so big. He's a smaller lion. So some people aren't so scared.
Yeah, that's good.
This is a problem. So what do they call
Gail,
a little man with a big attitude, you know?
Well, Gail, I enjoyed talking to you, but I'm going to have to go. Let you go now. So we can move on to our other callers, okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much for sharing your story and about your son. He's an ace of spades. He's in good hands, and I think he's going to get out because he's got great cards in April and May.
I hope so. Thank you, Robert.
Have a nice evening.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have all the lines open, folks. Now is the time to call. We're going to take a short break. We're going to listen to... Sita Ram, and when we come back, we'll take your calls. Be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I hope you like that rock and roll chant. We have people on the line now, and we're going to talk first to Don from Michigan. Are you there, Don?
Yes, I am, Robert. How are you doing?
I'm great. How's it going for you?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
And you are born July 27, 1964?
Correct.
All right. What can I do for you?
Well, Robert, I guess I was just, I've been working with your system a little bit here, not as much as I'd like to, but I guess I'd like to get your explanation on my life spread, the two lesson cards there, nine of spades and the nine of clubs.
Uh-huh.
I'd just like to hear your viewpoint on that once.
Well, the nine of spades is, for you, is what we call, what I call the cosmic moon card.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, Robert.
It's what I call the cosmic moon card.
Okay.
And we don't generally don't interpret that too much.
Okay.
It's like, but, you know, if, let's first talk about the nine of clubs, okay?
Okay.
So the nine of clubs says that it talks about, it's the cosmic lesson card or the lifetime results card. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. Not the, I'm a little confused. I apologize. It's not the cosmic reward card, it's the cosmic lesson card. So it has a Saturn thing, but what it really is talking about is this is the role that you must play in your life in order to fulfill your responsibility to the world at large. Okay?
Okay, following you.
So it's like the walk you need to walk. And nine of clubs means giving knowledge to the world. Okay?
Oh, okay.
That makes sense?
It's making more sense to me, yes. Yes.
Yeah, like all Ace of Clubs people, on some level, they're always taking in knowledge, right? But
mm-hmm.
because they love to learn, but they have a responsibility to give knowledge back to people in the world mm-hmm. in some way, like as a teacher or writer or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like Clint Eastwood's a famous Ace of Clubs, you know? And he first was an actor, and now he's a producer, a director. And that's his way of kind of like sharing his perspectives on things with the world.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So the Nine of Spades I'm not going to talk about. That's like a card that's kind of hard to understand.
It does have
a moon kind of an influence in the sense that you might feel like, well, see, you're a very fixed individual. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your mind is like a steel trap, okay? And the Nine of Spades says, you know, you always feel better when you let go a little bit. You follow me?
Yes, I'm following you.
But it's not your nature just to let go, because Ace's clubs don't change very quickly, you know? That's just the nature
gotcha.
Of Ace's clubs. So.
Yeah.
All right. So anything else, Don?
My youngest son, he was born 10/25 of 02. He's a 10 of hearts.
Uh-huh.
Just enlighten me on him a little bit. I mean, it's basically what he says. I mean, 10 of hearts is, he's literally got 10 hearts.
Well, they have to have a crowd of people that they're part of, you know.
Uh-huh.
They have to. And they create it one way or the other.
Okay.
It's either friends, or they end up performing somehow, or become teachers, or they have large families. You know, it just depends, you know.
Gotcha.
They're very clever. They have a super, super clever mind.
Yes, he does. Okay.
And they can lie better than anybody else.
Okay.
Better than anybody. So you might think they're telling you the truth, and you would never know the difference.
Okay. Keep that in mind.
What I tell people who know Ten of Hearts is whenever they say anything, just think, that person's lying to me. You're better off thinking that from the get-go than finding out later.
Okay.
You know, especially, you know, and it's amazing. It's what's really interesting is how many Ten of Hearts I've heard about who end up married to more than one woman at the same time.
Really?
Yeah. and they're so good that nobody knows. Now that's talent. I mean, how many people can pull that off? You know what I'm saying?
I'll have to remind them of that.
Yeah. Listen, you got the harem thing going now. Think about this, all right?
I'll do that.
They can pull off because they can remember everything they told everybody.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Oh, he'll be great. He'll be fine, though. He's, you know, he's a Scorpio. He's going to have an interesting life. It's not going to be boring, I'll tell you that.
Okay. Yeah, I see that. I see that coming already, but...
And he's not really like you that much. He really is, you know.
No, I agree.
He's a different, you know, he's just different than you, but, I mean, he's got some similar traits, but... Because, yeah, one of his ruling cards is an Ace of Hearts, so that's kind of connected to you. And you guys are close, so... Yeah, that's all that matters.
Okay. Good deal, Robert.
Thanks for coming on the show, Don.
I appreciate your time.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, without further ado, we have, I believe, Nettie online, too. Are you there, Nettie? Hello?
Hello?
Is this Nettie?
This is Nettie. How are you, Robert?
I'm well. What's going on with you tonight?
Well... everybody seems to be calling for other people, but I actually want to know about what's happening for me this year.
Well, great.
I'm going to be selfish and talk about me.
And that is so unlike you.
I'm sorry?
And that is so unlike you.
Right?
It is.
Too hard. It is. I've had some interesting things happen recently with my life, and I'm wondering what's coming up in regards to career, because I'm trying to figure out if I should stay in what I do or if I should move on.
And what kinds of career options are you looking at? What are you doing now, for example?
Well, what I do now is I spiritually counsel people. That's
okay.
What I do for a living.
Are you getting paid for it?
Yes, I do. I get paid for it.
Okay, good. And what are you thinking of switching into?
Well, I'm thinking I'm wondering if I should go back to my original love, which has to do with acting.
With acting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if I should jump into that. Well, I still do what I do, obviously, but...
I think you should try them both at the same time for a while, personally.
Okay.
Based on what I see in your cards this year.
Yeah.
It's not something I would always recommend to people, but in your particular case, you have a 3 in the Jupiter period this year. And what that means is it's good. Jupiter is always good. You always follow Jupiter. Whatever it says, you just follow it.
Uh-huh.
And Jupiter says doing 2 things at the same time is good this year.
Okay.
Okay,
do you see a move this year?
Well, it's not showing up. It's not that you can if you want. It's not showing up to be a big thing, though. So if it happens,
okay.
it won't be a life-changing event.
The moving won't be a shot. So it's just simply from one place to another.
Yeah, if it happens, it's not going to be something that makes a big difference one way or the other.
Okay.
Now, this last birthday of yours, you entered a new 7-year cycle. So you just began. Okay.
My last birthday?
This last birthday of yours. You began a brand new 7-year cycle. And what's interesting about it is, and you don't know this because the book doesn't show you off the bat what your 7-year cards are, okay?
Okay.
But your long-range card for the 7 years is the actor card.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, it's kind of interesting that I came that actually is something that came about a week ago. I came up with that thought. So.
And it's also your long-range card this year.
Cool.
This is very unusual that you have the same card for the 7 years that you have for this year. So here you are, right off the bat, going right into it. See?
Awesome. So at least I'm heading in the direction that it feels right.
Yeah.
It's coming up in the cards.
Yeah, it is. It's showing up there.
Okay.
So I think you're going to do that. And one should always follow what they love.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we don't know why we love what we love. Like, sometimes there's other things being fulfilled by doing that. Like, maybe there's something about acting that fulfills something in you that the other work just doesn't fulfill. Like, for example, maybe you love having a lot of attention on you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you do.
No.
Oh, I think.
Maybe. Who doesn't like attention?
Well, no, a lot of people are very uncomfortable with it, and other people could care less. There's definitely a lot of variety in that.
It depends the kind of attention. I think that the kind of attention that I would love to get would be in a way of transcendence, of helping people in some way. So if I was to help somebody connect to something that they would choose to do, I think that that's why I'm also a healer and why I spiritually help people, because I really... It's not attention so much as I would love to be able to inspire people to connect to that part of themselves that leads them to what they really choose.
So I have a quick question for you. Do you think it's not a good thing to want attention?
No, I don't think it's a bad thing to want attention. It just depends what the intent is behind it.
What's the intent of the attention? So do you think that... just wanting attention for attention's sake? How's that?
Yeah, I don't think that... Well, I'm a Capricorn, so it has to have a purpose. There's always a purpose behind it.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I feel like if you're seeking the attention, you have to do something with it. There's a purpose
behind. I understand.
Yeah.
But I say that you're limiting yourself by that belief.
Yeah?
And I think that's why you're drawn back to acting, because... I think you need to get it that it's okay to have all the attention in the world.
Okay.
It's perfectly okay. You don't get that just yet, but I think that's why you want to go back into acting on a deeper level. I think there's an issue there for you. I sense it when you talk. That there's an issue around that for you. There's something to be unlocked about yourself that will free up energy and, you know, cause an opening to happen for you. That's connected to the acting. And I want you to know that you don't have to have a reason to want attention. And it doesn't have to serve any purpose.
Okay.
You don't have to have a reason to want more money.
Maybe it's the practical side. It's the practical side of my nature.
I think it's more like, justifying it so that you can be okay with it, you know.
Yeah, maybe that's probably what it really is.
Like, because otherwise it's not okay just to want it.
Okay.
This is great. This is perfect for you.
Awesome. Can I ask, my daughter has been asking, she loves to get her picture taken. She loves attention as well. And I'm wondering if
it's perfect for you. It's perfect
because I have
a daughter that's not going to hold back. She's going to just say, give me the attention.
Right, so I'm wondering if I'm thinking of putting her into modeling. Can I give you her date of birth and you let me
yeah,
know
sure.
if she
sure.
would be able to handle
What's
it?
What's her birthday?
3/31/2002.
Well, first of all, you should know that your daughter's karma is way different than yours.
Okay.
I mean, you both have some of the same karmic elements in your makeup. But I want you to be really clear, if possible, that she's not a chip off the old block.
Well,
okay.
I don't think you have to sell that to me. I'm very positive she's not.
Well, I mean, she might.
She's an angel in the sense
she's
that she's very
lots of, She's going to have lots of your features and all, but she's a five of clubs, seven of hearts, which is nothing like your card, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you are in the same kind of basic neighborhood of the card spread, so there is connections for sure. But her karma is to be so restless. Do you understand? So restless.
Yeah, she's very restless, yeah.
And her card is not necessarily attention needing. The card itself isn't necessarily that way. But the Seven of Hearts ruler is somebody, she's a Seven of Hearts ruling card. And the Seven of Hearts is somebody that, they have this karma that they came into this lifetime used to getting their way around everything.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's as if somehow they were like royalty in a previous life or something, because they really
feel as if people
are meant to serve them in some way. I know.
Well, they're used to getting their way. They're used to being very powerful and people responding to their every need and whim.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come in this lifetime and it just doesn't work out that way.
No, I know. Frustrating for them too.
And she's got us, especially in the relationship department, she's going to try to dominate her partners and she's going to meet her match every time. That's going to be her karma, which is not like your karma. I mean, you have relationship karma, don't get me wrong, but it's not the same as hers, okay?
I definitely have it.
Yeah. So you need to be, I'm just saying all this because it'll be good for you not to feel like it's any of your thing. Her relationship karma is her relationship karma. It's stuff that she brought with her from the past life, and she'll be working it out, and it's not the same as yours, though it might show up looking similar to yours at times, you know what I'm saying? It may look that way at different points, but it's different. Hers is all about power and control.
That doesn't sound very different from mine, but okay.
Well, I think yours is more about fear, you know, fear of abandonment, fear of whatever.
Yes, and for some reason I attract that quite often. Goodness. Yeah.
Well, you know, you yourself, you have a three of hearts right now. You can't figure out love right now.
No, I can't figure out that I just got out of a relationship. So it's kind of interesting I think it's a blessing that I have the three of hearts right now.
Well, three of hearts
allows me not to be able to focus on one.
Yeah. Okay, Yeah, that works. That'll be protection for a while.
Mm-hmm. For a little while until I come back to reality.
No, until you decide otherwise. See, for you, love has, relationship, I should say, with another person has a lot of meaning, more meaning than the average person.
Right. I project a huge expectation on my partner.
Just like the Ace of Clubs person, which the previous caller was an Ace of Clubs. They just called, right? And they have the same exact karma that, you know, relationship is very, very important to them. And when they think about it, it has a much deeper significance than it does for the average person because they're looking for somebody super special.
And I have two ex-boyfriends that are Ace Clubs, which is kind of funny.
That's unusual.
I attracted two Ace of Clubs in my life.
Yeah, that is. That's very unusual.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you're the one that's hard to find. You're the one of the least common cards in the whole deck.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one that's, like, rare to meet.
Is there love coming at all?
Love coming? You have love right now, but...
I have love. I have them coming in all directions, but I'm asking if I'm going to be attached to anybody.
Well, you're going to learn a really important lesson about love this year. And I know that people don't like the word lesson because it sounds bad, but hey, you know, how else are we going to learn, you know?
Well, I actually just had that happen, so I'm wondering if that's something
that No, this hasn't happened yet. This is going to be in August.
Oh, it's going to be in August.
This lesson.
Darn it, I was hoping it was something I've already experienced.
Yeah, we all try to get out of these things if we can. Six of Hearts and Saturn. I went through that. I met somebody, it was a very short relationship, it didn't go very well, but I got to see, I got a reflection of myself that was invaluable.
or where you are?
Yeah, how I was being as a relationship person. And that's what the Six of Hearts is all about. It's about showing us ourselves. So whatever happens, it'll be good, and it's not going to be all that bad, but it's just going to be an awakening for you. It has to do a lot about the responsibility associated with love and sex. Like, you know, I always just, you know, had lovers and never thought twice about it. I never thought there was anything I should be concerned about, you know, like, am I doing anything? But then I realized
it has
an impact on people. And
it has an emotional.
We can pretend that it doesn't, but it still does, you know.
No,
that kind of
binding
thing.
Energy.
So, you know, I learned it the hard way, and you're likely to learn it the hard way, too, because you have the Six of Hearts in Saturn.
Well, that sucks. I just learned that lesson, though.
Well,
I had my fiance just cheated on me. I just ended that relationship. I'm like thinking, what are you talking about? Isn't this the lesson I just learned?
Well, okay. I don't know. You know, there's layers to the onion. You know what I mean? You peel one layer back, and there's another layer. And we never stop learning, by the way. And you probably already know that, but even when in the self-learning area, we never stop learning. We're always, like, going deeper, okay, into ourself. So whatever happens for you, it'll be good. And I don't see it being all that difficult. You know, I just want you to know. Don't get too concerned about it, okay?
Okay.
And you're going to be having sex with somebody, if you aren't already, really soon.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I'll keep the calendar open for
it's
that.
Gonna be,
one,
it's going to be passionate.
Good.
Yeah. The Mars, Queen of Hearts, that's pretty good.
Awesome.
So,
but
you know,
in career-wise and what I did ask, that's a good move then, obviously, in the direction that I was thinking.
Well, yeah. I think it's what's called for you. I think it's meant
okay.
to be. And it's okay to do that and something else at the same time for now.
Okay.
When it develops into something more steady and, you know, whatever, then you can...
Should I keep then my daughter out of that limelight that I was asking about?
I don't think you can stop her from, you know, having her karma. If she really wants
right.
to do it, I think you should let her do it.
Okay.
You know, if she's attracted to it herself, then there's a reason for it. I have a good friend in Nashville, and her daughter, from a very young age, said, I'm going to be a pop star.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody told her that. Her mother is not into that at all. Nothing, you know.
Right.
And she goes around singing, and she sings like an angel, and she just dances and performs and. You know, she's only like 9 years old, but I know that girl's going to be famous someday. I just
yeah.
know. It's her
they
energy.
Know.
Yeah, they just
yeah,
know.
They just know.
And so if I had a child who had that kind of knowing, I would certainly be supportive, you know, to the extent that I could. Because I want the child to, I mean, I don't care one way or the other if the child's famous or not famous, but I want them
yeah,
to have...
Yeah, it's about them pursuing what they want, yeah.
I'd like them to have a life that they would want.
Well, Robert, thank you
so
much for your help. Yes, it's been a lot of help.
All right, Nitti. It's great to have you on my show, and please call back and check in.
Thank you. Have a great night.
All right. Thank you, Nitti. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's see. We're going to take one more short break, and we have one caller waiting patiently on line 3. And after the break, I'll talk to her, and then we'll end our show tonight. We're going to listen to the song Closer to You. And when we come back, we'll talk to Kia from Oregon. Be right back.
darkest hour, in the dead of night, there's a place you'll find me, reaching for the light. And then your subtle stillness lights up my heart and soul. And now I can't forget you, you're everything I know. Oh, oh. Yeah, yeah. You're everything I know. Oh, oh, oh. I'm here riding out the storm. I'm not afraid, not alone. If I have to wait forever, if I have to die again, there is nothing more important, there is no other way, and I am getting closer, there's nothing in my way, yeah, yeah. Nothing can stand in my way, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, and this is the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. Hope you enjoyed that song. We have just enough time for our last caller, who is going to be a very interesting guest. Please welcome to the show Kia from Oregon. Are you there, Kia?
Yeah.
Kia, how are you?
Good.
I think you're our youngest caller today.
Yeah.
Are you a little nervous?
Yeah.
And you have a birthday coming up soon.
Yes.
Great. So, has your mother or father called in before?
My mom has.
Ah, okay. So, what can I do for you this evening? Would you like a reading for your next year or what?
Sure.
Is that what you'd like? Or did you have another
pardon
question? Did you have a question or is that what you want?
I wanted to know about singing and moving.
Singing and moving. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Moving to Utah.
Okay. Are you guys actually definitely moving, or?
Yeah.
You've already decided to move?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this is going to be, I really think this is going to be a really good move for you. Are you there?
Yeah.
This is going to be, when are you planning to move, do you know?
Maybe this summer.
Okay. Well, you have such wonderful cards this year that you should be going out and having fun with your friends and doing things with groups of people. Okay?
Okay.
Like, if you get invited to a party, you go. Or if friends of yours are going out and doing something, if your mom's okay with it, you know, you go. Because you have a 10 of hearts, and that card means having fun with a lot of people at the same time. And do you have a birthday party coming?
I already had it.
You already had it? Was it any good?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good. You had it early.
Yeah.
You know, I have a sister who is your birthday. One of my sisters is born on March 12th.
Cool.
Yeah. And she's always telling the best jokes. Do you tell jokes, too?
Not really.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious if you were the same as her. So I think the move is going to be, if you move, especially if you move in the early summer, it's going to be really good.
Okay.
It's going to be really good. Yeah. And you're going to enjoy it. Don't worry about it so much. It's not going to be hard for you. It's actually going to be a good thing all the way around.
And I like singing a lot, and I was just wondering if that's going to come up anytime soon.
So how would you like to see yourself singing? Like, do you want to be, like, performing by yourself? Do you want to be in a band? What do you want to do?
I guess in a band.
In a band? Okay. So, what, have you tried joining a band yet?
No.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know.
Are you a little bit maybe afraid or something? Or?
I guess. I just don't know how I would get into a band. I don't know how to contact people.
What kind of music do you sing?
I like country music.
Uh-huh. Have you ever done karaoke?
Yeah.
Was that good? Did you have fun?
Mm-hmm. I've been in a musical before.
Oh, at school?
It was at one of the high schools near my school.
And did that go good?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this should be a great year for singing. So you should be looking for ways to sing, and I would suggest if there's anything going on at school, do it. You know, whatever you can find, just be open and do it. Because that card that you have is all about being popular. That's what it's about. You're going to be Miss Popular this year. You'll see. Right away, you'll see. It's going to kind of blow your mind, I think.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Well, nice to have you on the show, Kia.
Kaya.
Oh, okay, cool. I wasn't sure how to pronounce it. Because there's a card that's spelled the same way, you know.
Yeah.
And they call it Kia, so I got it wrong. I apologize.
It's okay.
All right, well, feel free to call again some other time.
Okay.
Are you too young for boyfriends? Do you have boyfriends?
No.
Okay, I thought so. I thought you might be a little too young for that.
Okay.
Anything else, Kaya?
No.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, and tell your mom hi.
Thank you.
And
okay.
Tell her it's okay if you want to call again. Whenever, whenever, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Good night, Kaya.
Good night.
Okay, that concludes our show this evening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. And Ray Blanchard was incredible. I hope you get a chance to go to the website. I think like for $5 you can watch the movie there online. It's gettheanswer.org. And I can't wait to watch it. I tried to watch it, and their server was down or something at the time. I'm going to go back and watch it. And the training, oh, my God, you know, I can't say enough about it. Actually, some of my listeners have actually done the training. Also, it's a big commitment of time and energy and money, but if you really want your life to be kick-started in a huge way, I can't think of anything that works like that thing works. It works. And I'd be happy to talk to you about it anytime. If you want to email me, I can tell you more about it. We're going to end our show tonight, as we always do, by playing the song Gayatri, one of the most powerful mantras throughout history, the Gayatri mantras. Hope you enjoy it. This is Robert Camp. We'll see you next week, same time. Have a nice night. Good night. Oh,
Argo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya. Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Argo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya.
This is Wesley Snipes, and I'm sitting here with my Pleiadian and Andromedan friends. And, you know, we were just kicking it, talking about a little extraterrestrial kind of a thing. We're having a little party together. Everybody's coming through from the galaxy. But, of course, you got to get the right directions. So we got to have the right vibration. Right vibrations is listening to Dr. Fred Bell and the Health and Sciences show on BBSRadio.com. Okay, I'm ready. Go. Where's my ticket for the ship, man?
Se levanta con el sueño en los ojos. El fresco olor de la mañana que aún no nació. Hay una barca en el puerto que le espera. Que como siempre en sus sueños él la besó. Él la saluda desde su ventana. Ella lo entiende como nadie más. Fueron muchas las horas que pasaron juntos. Y muchos los apuros en alta mar. Y cuentan que no saben lo que es el miedo, que sale, que no importa cómo esté la mar. Juran que goza luchando con la sola y que con ella a su lado todo le da igual. Hay quien le espera al caer la tarde, muchos hay que dudan si volverá. Ya regresaron con sus barcas vacías. Y nadie lo ha visto, está mala la mar. Y el viento sopla más que de costumbre. Las olas cubren su embarcación. Ya queda poco, se asoma por el puerto. Y lo ven sonriendo junto al timón. Sí, cuentan que no saben lo que es el miedo. Dicen que sale, que no importa cómo esté la mar. Juran que goza luchando con la sola y que con ella a su lado todo le da igual. Y cuentan que él no sabe no lo que es el miedo. Y dicen que sale, que no importa cómo esté la mar. Juran que goza luchando con la sola y que con Emma a su lado todo le da igual. Todo le da igual. Todo le da igual. Oh,